Rod's Pulse Podcast Number 64, Criterion Web Assessor and PodSafe New Age Viola.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back. Hi, this is Rod, and you're listening to Rod's Pulse Podcast. Welcome back. That little clip was from a song called Winter Moon by Rhonda Lawrence. I guess you could say it's a kind of haunting New Age viola. The album stayed on the top 50 of the New Age Reporter charts for an entire year and was nominated for several Lifestyle Music Awards, including Album of the Year and Best New Artist. So I think you'll enjoy that piece, so stay tuned at the end of my podcast, and I'll play the full song. Now, before I get to my main topic for today, I just want to give you a piece of news from the Podosphere. I've been talking a lot about Web 2.0 and some of the different tools, and sometimes these tools take a while before they get into the corporate world, but I ran across an article from CIO Magazine, CIO.com, which I thought those of you in the corporate world will be interested in. It's called Ignoring Web 2.0 Will Cost You. Of course, I'll have a link to the article in my show notes, but just to give you a taste of what you'll find there, quote, not wild about wikis, not big on blogs, not sold on Second Life. IT execs who ignore Web 2.0 collaboration technologies could be hurting their company's bottom line. That's the message from the enterprise IT leaders and industry analysts who are convinced that Web 2.0 technologies are the real deal, end quote. Companies make a big mistake when they prohibit these tools out of the sheer fear of what employees will say when they communicate with one another. But the article goes on to say that some big corporate names like Accenture, Cisco, and HP, and even Berkshire Hathaway's Court are betting big on the benefits of open collaboration. In fact, one company even instituted Facebook Fridays, where the executives encouraged their 900 employees to connect with customers, business partners, and each other over the company's group portal on the popular social networking site. Interesting food for thought. Companies that are forward-thinking will get onto the bandwagon and use some of these tools. So take a look at the article. I have the link in my show notes. Now for my main topic today, I am going to be interviewing Pam Cibalka. She's the Executive Vice President of Criterion. Now Criterion is spelled K-R-Y-T-E-R-I-O-N, and I have a link to their company website on my show notes. It's www.criteriononline.com. Now their main product you might be very interested in, it's called Web Assessor. I recently heard about this Web Assessor product at the recent tech fair at Villanova University outside of Philadelphia. Pam did a very interesting presentation and demo, and I was pretty impressed with it. Now, they describe it as a scalable and integrated test creation and test delivery tool for online secured testing. In other words, even for a distance education course where you might have previously had every student come on location to take a proctored exam, now students can take a proctored exam from the comfort of their home as long as they have a good internet connection and a webcam. So it's an interesting technology, it's secure, and it's actually proctored. There are actually human beings that can monitor the situation. So I think you'll be interested in the product, and of course I'll have a link on my show notes. So here we go, here's my interview with Pam Cibalka.
Tim, thank you very much for agreeing to talk to me and my audience. As you may know, I've been covering the area of educational technology, spending a lot of time on podcasting, of course, and I haven't talked too much about assessment, but I think it's a very important area, and I was very happy to be listening to your presentation at the recent tech fair at Villanova. So why don't you give my audience a brief introduction on what your products are? Do you just have the one product or different versions of it? And maybe explain a little bit to them about how it works.
Okay. Thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to speak about this. It's an exciting topic for us. And we're all about online secured testing. And what that means is we have developed new technology around existing testing systems that allow an individual to take a proctored test anywhere, anytime, assuming they have internet connection, broadband, a browser, and a commercially available webcam. So the idea is that, especially in the distance education model, testing has been tricky at best. Learning is great, it's convenient, and that's one of the things that appeals to most people taking distance education courses, but the testing part of it doesn't really fit the model for distance ed. Someone has to go somewhere. They have to go find a proctor or go to a testing center. And so what we've done is develop technology that surrounds a testing engine so that they don't have to do that. They can take the test at home anytime they like.
Now, you mentioned that it works around existing assessment engines, or is this a separate assessment product?
There is a testing engine that we have marketed for about 7 years in use at a number of different organizations, and that's at the core of this technology. And then surrounding that is a whole series of hardware and software technologies that provide the secure part of the proctoring capability. Traditionally, we and other vendors in the computerized testing space have delivered online tests through a traditional bricks and mortar location. And we have that as an option as well. We have about 250 testing centers around the country and a number internationally. Yes. So you can do the traditional go and be proctored in person. But what we've found is that that model really hasn't changed very much over the years, and it really doesn't fit distance education very well. So we've developed this new technology, including webcams, biometric technology, online proctors, etc., so that you can take secure testing into the home.
Let's take those one at a time. When you say biometrics, how do you, I guess, which biometric do you use, and then how do you establish that it's really the student that is taking the test?
Right. Well, there really are three issues. One is it the right person taking the test? Are they cheating during the testing process? And then are the test questions safe and secure and not out on a website somewhere? So if we look at your question of how do you determine it's the right person, there are two mechanisms that we use in this release of our technology. One is, think of a webcam, taking a digital picture of the individual. They actually biometrically enroll through a digital picture as well as what we call keystroke analytics. And this is really cool technology that's hard to believe, but the idea behind this is that everyone has a unique typing pattern. Whether you're a hunt and peck typist or a very proficient typist, we all have a different pattern. And you type in a phrase roughly 9 times. Sometimes it takes more depending on how good your typing skills are, but until the computer recognizes that pattern, and then that pattern becomes unique to you. So you enroll as using the digital picture and the keystroke analytics, and then when you go to launch the test, you take another picture via the webcam, you sign in via the keystroke analytics, and the comparison is made to make sure it's the right person.
Okay. Now, let's say I can imagine in a testing situation, the student is more nervous than maybe the first time that they, registered their biometrics. How often does that actually not work, where they have to get some help, and can you provide help at the time of testing?
Generally speaking, there is a 3% false negative. In other words, 3% of the time, the right person can't get into the system. And so we have a backup plan. They can actually speak to a person who can get actually a second person involved to look at their picture and make sure it's the right person, perhaps even ask questions if that's what our client wants to do, if there's a series of questions to verify that it's the right person. So there's a backup to that system as well.
The first time I heard about these kinds of systems, I imagined it had to be in a college or university or school classroom, computer classroom. So this can actually be done at a student's home or wherever they are. Have you found that there's any resistance to having a webcam? Is that a problem? Do they have to purchase a webcam? Or?
Well, a webcam needs to be purchased, whether it's by the school or whether it's by the individual. But the cost of webcams have come down dramatically, and you can get a really good webcam in the $50 to $80 range, and they're commercially available. And what we've also found is that a lot of faculty in distance education courses are actually encouraging the use of webcams anyway for other use in their classes to try to create a sense of community and to have students connect with each other.
Oh, that's an interesting approach, yeah. I know a lot of teenagers, my daughter's one, loves the webcam and sharing pictures with their friends on Facebook and so on. So I know it's becoming almost a standard item when you have a computer these days.
It's getting there.
In terms of proctoring, how does that actually work? You can't have individual attention to each student, so I'm curious how you manage something like that.
Well, if you think of that webcam, the webcam is actually recording both video and audio of the student once the test has been launched. And on the other end of that webcam, and these individuals happen to be in Phoenix at this time, there is a bank of online live proctors watching students take the test. And if you can envision, they are looking at a series of thumbnails, and bigger than what you actually might think of as a thumbnail, but about a 3x3-inch square of students. And there are different levels of proctors. There are people that we call observers who go through and filter through looking for unusual behavior. And then we have our actual proctors are people who deal with situations as they arise. So there's several triggers that would cause a proctor to be alerted. One would be that observer sees something funny, sees someone pick up a cell phone or whatever. That would cause an alert. Then we also have technology in the software that is called real-time data forensics. We use all these sophisticated names, but what it means is it captures certain test response patterns, and it looks for unusual behavior. That doesn't necessarily mean someone's cheating, but it would raise a red flag. For example, someone is answering the questions too quickly, and they're getting them right. That might be cause for alarm or cause for a proctor anyway to look a little more closely. And then the proctor can zoom in on a particular student, rewind, move forward, see what's been going on, and make whatever decisions our clients deem appropriate, take whatever action.
Students can be pretty clever. How would you find out, for example, if somebody was sort of behind the camera and coaching somebody off screen?
This is a commercially available webcam, so it isn't a 360-degree view. But what the proctor can do, if they're alerted in one way or another to something unusual, they could ask the student to pick up the webcam and circle the room, look at what else is going on in the room. And in fact, one of the key factors, I think it's a really important point to make, is that we're as much about deterrence as we are about detection. So The idea is that we are going to put enough technology around this so that it's going to deter those students who might be tempted to do something that they shouldn't do. It's going to prevent them from even thinking about it. So if the student knows up front that they may be asked to use the webcam to investigate what else is going on in the room, we believe it's less likely that they'll actually attempt to have someone else in the room. And then certainly during the testing process, that can happen again, and the proctor could ask the student to pick up the webcam and look around so you could see the person holding the book.
We don't have to get into your pricing, but I imagine it's more expensive to have the full suite of services, including the proctoring. What if you have sort of a low-profile quiz or something? Are there different levels of security that a school can use, and does cost vary accordingly?
Yes, I mentioned that we have the bricks and mortar traditional testing center model. We also offer unproctored tests. That's an option. So if it's a quiz and somebody doesn't need to get proctored, we also have what we call client proctored. And that means if a particular school wanted to have their own proctors do the proctoring, that's a possibility too. And then there is, of course, the webcam online live proctor 24/7 model. All of those have different fees associated with them. But we've really tried to make the fees be competitive with the way other testing organizations work, which they don't have this model, but we've tried to be very competitive. And clearly, the distance education market is a big market for us, and we've tried to value price so that it's affordable.
As far as implementing a system like this on a campus, do you integrate with learning management systems, student information systems, to say import logins or to import and export grades? How much customization is required? What can you tell me about that?
Well, we've built this testing center system, and we are in the process right now of integrating to virtually all the major CMS vendors. So Blackboard, WebCT, Desire to Learn, Moodle, eCollege. So yes, that's an important part of this. We have APIs so that you can pull the student registration information, so enough identifying data about the student into our product, which is called Web Assessor, by the way, so that the student can actually take the test in WebAssessor via a link through their existing LMS, and then the results data can be fed back into the LMS CMS gradebook.
Speaking of the name of your product, WebAssessor, where can you tell my audience to go to find out more? What is your website?
Well, the company name is Criterion. It's Kryterion. Our website is www.criteriononline.com.
Well, that's great. We've come just about to the end of our time. I was wondering if there's anything else you would like to say, anything new that's coming out in a new version, anything else major that we forgot to discuss?
I don't really think so. We are heading into, this is new technology, and we're heading into pilots with several major universities, a Big Ten school, a school that is focused on distance education, several community colleges. So we are really excited to be introducing this to the marketplace. We are happy to answer any questions, provide any additional information to anybody who'd be interested.
Great. Well, I want to thank you again. I'll just remind my audience that I'll have a link to their website, to the Criterion website, on my show notes, and also Pam's email address. So, Pam, I'd like to thank you again for taking the time to speak to me, and thanks for joining Rod's Pulse Podcast.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me.
So I think that's a very interesting product, definitely worth taking a look at. That's about all I have for today. So stay tuned for the song Winter Moon, and until next time, have a great week.
Please leave Rod feedback at 610-616-2199.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rod Numeri, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.